Lecture topic, Shaping the Mind.
Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah wa kafa wa salatu wa salamu ala ibadihi alladhina astafa. Amma ba'du fa'audhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Ya ayyuhan nasu ittaqoo rabbakum alladhi khalaqakum min nafsin wahidatin wa khalaqa minha zawjaha wa batha minhuma rijalan kathiran wa nisaa'a wattaqoo allaha alladhi tasaa'aluna bihi wal arham inna allaha kana 'alaykum raqiba sadaqallahu al-'azim. Most respected students of Deen, mothers and sisters. This ayat of the Quran Sharif is one of the three ayat that is recited in the khutbah of the nikah. So when a nikah is performed, nowadays even our sisters would often be following on a when some nikah or some family person is taking place, because they will either pick it up on the audio streaming or through the masjid receivers, so they probably listen to many times when the nikah is being performed. So you would be familiar with this ayat being recited at that time. So this is the ayat of Surah An-Nisa, and in this Allah Ta'ala commences the ayat with Ya ayyuhan nasu ittaqoo rabbakum alladhi khalaqakum min nafsi wahida. Allah addresses the entire mankind, but it's referring to primarily the believers are the ones who will take this lesson. That fear your Rabb who created you from one being, meaning the first being was Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, and then from Adam alayhi salatu wasalam came Hawa radiallahu ta'ala anha. And from them, then the human progeny continued. So this is Allah Ta'ala's Nizam, Allah Ta'ala's creation. And this is the iman and belief of every mu'min. That Allah Ta'ala created insan, the first insan, Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, created him from dust, from sand, from clay. Allah Ta'ala fashioned him, and then the ruh was blown into him, and he became a living being. So this is the crux of so many different ayat of the Quran Sharif, that this was the manner in which Adam alayhi salatu wasalam came into this dunya, created from sand and clay and water and the elements that were mixed into it. And then this ruh of Adam alayhi salatu wasalam was blown into him, and he came into being. When the Christians and the Jews, na'uzu billah, couldn't understand that how can Isa alayhi salatu wasalam be born without a father, Allah Ta'ala brought about his birth miraculously without any father. It was directly, he was born from Hazrat Maryam radiallahu ta'ala anha. So Allah Ta'ala gave them this, Inna mathala Isa inna Allahi ka mathali Adam. That you are astounded about this, that Isa alayhi salatu wasalam was born only from a mother. So his example is easy to understand. His example is like the example of Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, which is even one above this. خَلَقَهُ مِن تُرَاب ثُمَّ قَالَ لَهُ كُن فَيَكُون. Allah Ta'ala created him from sand and then gave the command be, and he became a human being. Allah's Qudrat. So this is our firm belief, and this is our aqidah. This is from the Quran Sharif. This is Allah Ta'ala's words. So there is no space for any other aspect whatsoever into this. This is how insan was created. And then the rest of the human race came from Adam alayhi salam and Hazrat Hawa radiallahu ta'ala anha. This was not actually the topic of discussion, but since this point came up in this ayat, so we need to be very clear about this. The so-called Big Bang theory and all the other baseless talk that goes around, and nowadays this is being pushed even more in the secular education, in state schools and where not. This is part of the curriculum, part of the syllabus, the baseless so-called theory of evolution and this Big Bang, all these things which are, so to say, giving the putting forward the deception that they have been put into, that this world came by the, what, some Big Bang happened, whereas Allah Ta'ala has described in detail the creation of this dunya also, and this is the creation of man. There is no evolution involved. It's Allah's creation, Allah's qudrat, Allah Ta'ala created. So we should totally reject anything else and don't listen to it, also don't read about it. Because batil is often presented in a very, very deceptive manner, and people get caught up in it who don't know better, who don't have the correct knowledge. They get mesmerized by the words, by the fancy talk, and they fall into deep confusion. And there are so many times these kind of correspondences come where somebody says they started reading this and reading that and reading some debates between atheists and others, and they got convinced, na'uzu billah, by the atheist arguments, which is totally fallacious, baseless, complete nonsensical. But it's a matter of how the person just uses fancy words, and the one who doesn't know better gets caught up in it. So now the debate sometimes is also a fake. Many times the people of batil, they present literature, they produce literature of this nature. The Shias also, there was one book some time ago that they had printed, published, and which was widely distributed. This is going back some maybe 20 years ago, a little bit more in fact. There was a book called Then I Was Guided or something. And it was something else. And it was a whole debate now. There was a debate between a person from the Shia and of the Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah. We are part of the Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah. So now this is all a fake story, that this person now brought up this argument and that person then responded in this manner, and then this person said this and that person said that. So it makes it like a very, very thrilling story, very captivating, because you're talking about now it's fiction, and fiction can now take it as you want, and people who are trained to capture the minds of others. So now they write all these fictitious stories in a way that captures the mind, makes it very interesting. But in that whole process, now in the end it will come to this point, oh no, that person of the Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah, he finally accepted, no, what you're saying is right. It's all wrong. It's all fake. Now the person who's reading, number one, all those fallacious arguments are presented in such a way that person from the Ahlus Sunnah now, he didn't have any answer for this. He didn't have answer for that. Or that something was answered. That answers are all fake also. Much of it is all distorted. But the reader got caught up in it. And the reader got caught up and swayed in the wrong direction simply because he doesn't have knowledge of his own, correct knowledge. So from where to where? The whole aqidah got corrupted. But now everybody thinks that we are good enough, we are smart, we can read, we can discern for ourselves. Why are we being asked not to read something? We are adults. We are thinking people, we are very intelligent. Then Allah forbid, some so-called very intelligent people lost their iman. And then they believe still, very convinced about it, that what they did was right. That is the greatest tragedy. So where this stemmed from? From reading all the Zulmat, reading about all these writings of these people who are far away, completely on batil, but the poison then settles in the heart and mind, and from where to where it takes a person. Likewise, about all this evolutionist theory and all these things, don't read it, don't listen to it. You will do yourself the best favor. Otherwise, you'll put yourself in a confusion, not because there's any confusion in the matter, but because you don't have the knowledge to refute it. The Quran Sharif, in one place, says that ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ هُدًى لِلْمُتَّقِينَ, right at the beginning, Surah Baqarah. ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ, that is the Quran Sharif. It's the book of Allah Ta'ala. It's a kitab in which there is no doubt. The kitab has no doubt. Now some people still hold doubts, but so Allah Ta'ala is saying to them, look, that doubt is in you. The Quran Sharif has no doubt. The Quran Sharif is beyond any doubt. But if somebody has a doubt, it's because he is jahil, he's ignorant of the facts, ignorant of the reality. There's some blockage somewhere. He can't see, he can't think. As a result, he is now in doubt. The doubt is in him. The doubt is not in the book of Allah Ta'ala. Now those who opened their eyes, they went and sought the knowledge from the right sources. All the doubts got dispelled. So it was, the doubt was within the person's thinking, not in the Quran Sharif. Which was a deficiency of the thinking of the person. Many things people don't understand, whether it's a mathematical problem, some scientific aspect, something to do with geography, some geographical matter, whether it is some, many times a person is explained something, yeah, I can't understand it. I didn't understand this. I just don't know, I can't figure out what's going on here. So now he can't figure out what's going on there, he can't understand it. So because somebody can't understand it, does it make that mathematical calculation wrong? Does it make that, whatever that explanation, geographical explanation, wrong? No. It's this person's lack of understanding. So in any case, this is another topic altogether. We digressed from one thing to another. The issue is, we should not be looking at any literature that is not from an authentic source. And if we're not sure if the source is authentic, then we ask those who are reliable and we know about them, inquire from them first. Don't become too bold. That bold manner and approach, attitude, can lead to disaster. So in this ayat, Allah Ta'ala first highlights to us this creation of insan. Allah Ta'ala says, خَلَقًا يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ اتَّقُوا رَبَّكُمُ الَّذِي خَلَقَكُم مِّن نَفْسِ وَاحِدَ وَخَلَقَ مِنْهَا زَوْجَهَا. Allah Ta'ala created you from this one being, and from this being created his spouse. And then وَبَثَّ مِنْهُمَا رِجَالًا كَثِيرًا وَنِسَاءً. And then Allah Ta'ala brought about the human progeny, and this millions and billions of people then came through. And thereafter again Allah says, وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ الَّذِي تَسَاءَلُونَ بِهِ وَالْأَرْحَامِ. And fear Allah Ta'ala, in whose name you ask one another for your whatever needs are. Sometimes you say, please, in the name of Allah Ta'ala, do me this favor. For Allah's sake, do this. So meaning when it's something really of a desperate nature or something you are really wanting, then this is how people then put it forward, invoking Allah Ta'ala's name, that by saying it in this manner, the person will then soften up, the person will accept my request. So now when in Allah's name you ask in this manner, then fear Allah Ta'ala and don't disobey him. And then together with that Allah says, wal arham. And fear the matter of relationships. How you conduct yourself with regards to relationships. Sometime back one person, there was some issue with some family person or whatever. And there were some other issues with some other people. So you know what, I think I'm going to adopt now. I'm not going to quote all the details that he said, but that particular type of people, somebody, people without iman, he took somebody's name. He says, that kind of people's mentality, I just rather adopt that mentality and carry on with life. So what you mean? Oh, for whatever it's worth, not repeating the name of the group that he mentioned, but he took one group of people, one community, that kind of community, that there's a common thing among them, that they live by this policy. So what is their mentality? What is their policy? Asked him, well, what is it? I don't know about this. So he says that their policy is, and their mentality is, you live for yourself and don't bother about anybody else. So now he was actually now planning to go about life in this way. Just live for yourself, ignore everybody else. So to start off with, that is what we just say. But when we are stuck and we are in the corner, then we look for somebody. But the most important aspect is that this so-called mentality and policy of a community, is this the mentality that Deen has given? Is this the mentality from the Quran Sharif? Is this the way that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has taught us? So that's not a mu'min's mentality. That might be anybody else, but not a mu'min's mentality. Mu'min's mentality comes from the guidance of the Quran Sharif. The Quran Sharif shapes the mind of a mu'min. But unfortunately, we haven't learned about what is the message of the Quran Sharif. So we haven't shaped our minds in the mold of the Quran Sharif. Before Islam, the Sahaba were in a different life. Before they became Muslim, they were in a very different life. One of the things the Quran Sharif highlights, what was the thing that used to happen in Jahiliyat? The crux of it is that they used to kill the female child. Allah Ta'ala describes this in detail in the Quran Sharif. وَإِذَا بُشِّرَ أَحَدُهُمْ بِالْأُنْثَى وَظَلَّ وَجْهُهُ مُسْوَدَّ وَهُوَ كَظِيمٌ. That when anyone was given the glad tiding of a daughter being born, so now a child was born, so now they came to give the glad tiding to the father, that there was a daughter born. And when he would hear daughter, Allah Ta'ala says, what will happen? His whole face, you can see the grief on his face. وَاللَّ وَجْهُ مُسْوَدَّ وَهُوَ كَظِيمٌ. He is now holding back and suppressing this grief, but you can see it on his face, this man has gone into a grief. And then, the society was such, يَتَوَارَى مِنَ الْقَوْمِ مِنْ سُوءِ مَا بُشِّرَ بِهِ. And he would then now hide away from people also, meaning isolate himself. He can't face the people. Subhanallah, what a jahiliyat this was, that now he was given the glad tidings of a daughter being born. Now he can't face people, that like what a musibat came. As if what a disgraceful thing happened. This was the jahiliyat. And now he starts debating in his mind. أَيُمْسِكُهُ عَلَى هُونٍ أَمْ يَدُسُّهُ فِي التُّرَابِ. He would start debating within himself. Should he just now live with this disgrace and carry on? Oh, this is how it is, how it was in Jahiliyat. It would be regarded as a disgrace, na'uzu billah. Now he's thinking, should I just now live it up with this disgrace and carry on? Or rather get rid of this? أَمْ يَدُسُّهُ فِي التُّرَابِ. Go and bury this child alive. Allah Ta'ala says, سَاءَ مَا يَحْكُمُونَ. They would make a terrible decision. A terrible decision. Na'uzu billah, they go and bury that daughter alive. This was the extent of this jahiliyat. Absolute ignorance. What kind of ignorance? Then deen came. And now, the sahaba presented themselves to be molded with the mold of deen. And they presented their hearts and minds to get molded. Now they came from this background. Meaning they saw these kind of things happening. Not that everybody did this, but these kind of things used to happen. This was the mindset, general mindset. So many would now just leave it and carry on and feel very disgraced and humiliated. And some would go and do the terrible deed of burying their daughter alive. Now they came from this background. And when they presented themselves to be shaped. Now there's a lengthy incident in the Hadith Sharif. And the crux of it is when Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam came at the time of the conquest of Makkah Mukarramah, or rather it was at the time of Umratul Qaza, when he came for Umratul Qaza, the Umrah that he performed while from Madinah Munawwara, when he was departing, then one young girl from the extended family of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, she came running. Please, Ya Ammi, she was the daughter of Hamza radiallahu ta'ala an. Hamza radiallahu ta'ala an had been martyred already. And this was his daughter or some. Any case, she came and she insisted she wants to join and come away to Madinah Munawwara, little child. So any case, they took the child along. Now when this child is an orphan, and now they took the child, because this child now had to be cared for. So three sahaba came and started competing to one to care for the child. Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu came, he says that I have greater right. Hazrat Jafar came, then Zaid bin Haritha radiallahu anhu came. Now once upon a time, just the message and the news of the birth of a daughter was na'uzubillah like a disgrace. And they didn't know how to live with this disgrace. But when they presented their hearts and minds to be molded in the mold of deen, now they are actually vying with one another, competing with one another. Please, give me this honor of caring for this child. Now that what was once upon a time regarded na'uzubillah as a disgrace, the mold of Islam molded them to understand that this is an honor. And now they were all very eager to be given this honor, to care for this child and raise her. So now, this is the message and the lesson, that to mold ourselves in the mold of deen. Mold ourselves in the mold of deen, meaning the values that deen has given. That is the values in which we have to mold ourselves. So we have to think in the manner of deen, not in the manner of the mentality of somebody else, kuffar mentality, Western mentality. So now in the Western mentality, then relationships mean nothing. If some parent gets old, the old age home is there. Then the Mother's Day, Father's Day, then they'll go and visit the father, visit the mother. That's it. End of the story. If they go visit. One person, I met him last week, just 1 week ago, exactly 1 week to the day, last Tuesday evening. And he mentioned that there's several old age homes in and around Durban. So he visits these places regularly on some organizational level. He goes and he sometimes takes some things for the people there, some things that need to be assisted with. So now there's all people from all different communities there. Some Muslims, mainly non-Muslim. That is another big tragedy. That in many places there's a majority of non-Muslim people. Some Muslim people are there, elderly people out of desperation. The whole environment is totally not conducive to deen. And these people are languishing there. Some coming from very wealthy backgrounds, he says. So he says that when he goes to these places, so there's many places where they are, the people who are there are not there because they got nothing to fend for themselves with. They are very wealthy people. And they pay a very big amount of money to be able to stay in these places. But it is just because they don't have anybody prepared to care for them, and then because of their age, because of whatever other needs they have, they cannot be living alone. So now they're forced to come in a place like this. Now, any case, they're okay in that sense that they got the financial ability to pay for it and whatever. But what is their biggest cry there? Their biggest cry is, now this person who goes to visit from time to time is a stranger to them in that sense. Stranger in the sense that he's no family. They never knew him until they saw him there. So once in a while he goes, but they tell him, please come more often. He says, yes, I try, but now I got so many other things. You know, please come more often. I say, well, what's the issue? But say, well, at least we get somebody to visit us. Meaning that the children have abandoned the parents. Abandoned to the extent that not even to come and pay a visit once in months. Many months. And have... Now, which mentality is this? This is so far away from a deeni mentality, and this is the message that the mentality of deen that Allah Ta'ala is giving us, وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ الَّذِي تَسَاءَلُونَ بِهِ وَالْأَرْحَامِ. Fear Allah Ta'ala regarding these relationships, because we're going to be questioned about this on the day of Qiyamah. So the lifestyle, the way things are going, the Western mindset, Western culture, so this is a very different style which ignores the most important things around us. And among the most important things is relationships. Iman is the foundation of everything. But then in Hukukul Ibad, it's relationships. So we need to become conscious about these aspects of deen from now. We are studying. We're still in our young age. Somebody might be 10, 12, 15. But if from now we don't understand this and don't realize it, we'll get washed away with the Western thinking, Western mindset. And then people, without any thought, they just go on and ignore their responsibilities and live their lives in an ajeeb way. This is the Western style. Father's Day, Mother's Day, they sometimes might make it physically, personally, otherwise they'll send one card. Father's Day, they did their rites for the father now. They sent him one card. Father's Day, Happy Father's Day. Oh, then on top of that, one more card will come. Happy Birthday. That's happiness. That's how happy that father will be. We don't celebrate birthdays. We celebrate our parents. Don't celebrate anybody's birthday. That's got nothing to do with deen. We celebrate the people that we have around us. Meaning, we respect them, we honor them, we serve them, and fulfill their rights, and regard it as our honor to serve them. But this is a very different scene out there nowadays, and very tragic, very heartbreaking. But it's stemming from where? That the wrong mold we put ourselves into. The mold is the secular mold. The mold is the Western lifestyle, the Western culture. We need to shake all this out of our lives and present ourselves in the mold of deen. In any case, this is a very important topic. Allah Ta'ala give tawfiq. We'll continue with this aspect next week. But the crux of it, that relationships are a very, very fundamental part of deen. We have to fulfill the rights of relationships. We are going to be asked about this on the day of Qiyamah. And shirking in this regard will bring a major problem on the day of Qiyamah, Allah forbid, and even becomes a very big problem in dunya. Many times they say, okay, if you want, try it and see. Don't try it, because it will be too late to see then. Don't try it. Fulfill the rights of relationships and see the barakat. Do that rather. Do it for Allah Ta'ala's pleasure and see the barakat. Don't try to experiment the other way around, because when you finally will see, it'll be disastrous. So Allah Ta'ala save us from that. This is just a way of making us understand that, look, don't take chances in this regard. Respect our parents. Don't back answer them. Sometimes they might be a little bit, maybe they might overstep the mark. overlook that. And you fulfill their rights. Don't ever cross the line of respect. And make dua for them. That is the message the Quran Sharif has given us. وَخْفِدْ لَهُمَا جَنَاحَ الذُّلِّ مِنَ الرَّحْمَةِ وَقُلْ رَبِّ رَحَمْهُمَا كَمَا رَبَّيَانِي صَغِيرًا. Keep making dua for them. Allah Ta'ala give me and all of us the tawfiq. وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين. اللهم لك الحمد كله ولك الشكر كله. اللهم لا نحصي ثناء عليك أنت كما أثنيت على نفسك. جزى الله عنا نبينا محمدا صلى الله عليه وسلم بما هو أهله. ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين. اللهم افتح لنا بالخير واختم لنا بالخير واجعل عواقب أمورنا بالخير بيدك الخير إنك على كل شيء قدير. ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين واجعلنا للمتقين إماما. ربنا فاغفر لنا ذنوبنا وكفر عنا سيئاتنا وتوفنا مع الأبرار. ربنا وآتنا ما وعدتنا على رسلك ولا تخزنا يوم القيامة إنك لا تخلف الميعاد. اللهم إنا نسألك من خير ما سألك منه نبيك وحبيبك سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ونعوذ بك من شر ما استعاذك منه نبيك وحبيبك سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. أنت المستعان وعليك البلاغ ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه سيدنا محمد وآله وصحبه أجمعين والحمد لله.